It is Friday. Hope you guys are doing well, ready for the weekend. So much going on all over the Twin Cities this weekend. Beautiful weather up in Maple Grove. It's the Chalk Fest, which is surprisingly cool. Chalk Fest does not sound cool. Like a bunch of sidewalk. It's unbelievable.
It is pretty incredible.
Right? Like, it sounds sort of lame, Josh Wheeler, but it's not. It's cool lame.
I was down there today. They were getting everything ready.
A couple texters have asked why we didn't ask our last guest, Melissa Hortman, about the Champlin Park softball team. We've talked about the national furor around sports and whether in high school, especially, should trans athletes be able to play. And I'll tell you just briefly why I didn't ask Melissa Hortman about it. I believe this issue is important. I have said that I believe that boys should play boys' sports, girls should play girls' sports, and that's just what I think. I believe that if you make a choice to have medical intervention, then you make a choice. But like playing sports, it's not a right. It's just a thing. And you sort of give that up. That's my belief. That said, current state law is what it is. And I totally disagree making this issue all about one school and one kid. And I think the way that people are talking about this topic is disgusting. They are trying to make their political point. They are trying to score their dunk. I don't question the passion on the issue, but I do question the steamrolling of a teenager to make your political point. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's offensive. And so it is a valid issue. But the dialogue is also cheapening the achievement of every other girl on that Champlin Park team, and I don't like it. So I'm not doing it. So that's why I didn't ask about it. Let's do the D Rush Hour news. And now I'm fired up about it. But let's do it. Hit the open before I say more. And the lead story is the special session. There is a deal. All four legislative leaders have signed a document, 2-page document, laying out how it's going to go down on Monday. Will it go down that way on Monday? I don't know, man. It is a very tight legislature. And the leaders are going to have to vote for things they don't like in order to get these bills passed. Monday will be a special session. One day long. The governor called the special session this afternoon. It must be done before 7 a.m. Tuesday. That is the deal. The governor said it took hundreds of hours of good faith bipartisan debate. DFL leader in the House told us that she thinks it's going to happen. She said it might get messy, but it's going to happen. There are big headline situations in the agreement. People who are here illegally, undocumented immigrants, adults will be booted off of the Minnesota Care health care plan. So they don't get to be a part of Minnesota Care. Children will still have access to Minnesota Care. Now, undocumented immigrants were paying premiums to be on Minnesota Care, but this will save the state money. And Melissa Hortman told us she will vote for it in order to get it through. The other headline is there will be a construction package, a bonding bill, $700 million. Mostly focused on fixing up aging infrastructure, some maintenance on old buildings at the university and the Minnesota system. And that's what they'll take up. We'll see if they get it done on Monday. Next in the lead is the fight between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. I mostly think this is for entertainment purposes, but the New York Times is reporting on the continued fallout of this feud. Two of the most powerful men in the world. Today, the war of words has paused. But Donald Trump told Fox News that he thought Elon Musk has lost it. He's telling people privately, according to the Times, that he's blaming Elon Musk's tweets and behavior on drug use. He's also considering selling that Tesla that he bought. Remember the ceremony in front of the White House, and he bought a red Tesla to demonstrate support amid that backlash. Things have calmed, at least publicly, today. Check our first half hour if you want to see what our listeners had to say. And if you'd like to hear some of these tweets performed by children, because that's what Donald Trump and Elon Musk are acting like. Third item in the lead today is the Edina Art Fair. For me, when I think of one of the kickoffs to the summer, Edina Art Fair is right up there. Rebecca Sorensen is the director of the 50th in France Business Association. She is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Are you at the art fair, Rebecca?
I sure am, Jason. It's so great to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you as well. I love the Edina Art Fair. I always worry about weather for you guys because it seems like if one art fair brings on the wrath of wind and rain, it's you guys. I don't know why. I don't get it.
I don't know why either, but, you know, the weather gods were with us today right at 3 o'clock. We started a little bit later today, but it worked in our favor because the sun popped out. And it's been nothing but blue skies, a little cloudy, but comfortable. So we're not, you know, sweating to death like we usually are. And there's no tornado warning or, you know, torrential rain. It's actually like this is going our way so far. Knock on wood.
All right. Good. I'm glad to hear it. The art fair fills the streets near 50th in France. And how many artists do you have this year?
Okay, so we have 250 artists. We couldn't fit one more artist in this district if we tried. We had about 600 people apply. So it was a very competitive year, and it was very hard to choose these winners. They were pretty exceptional. And I think when you come out here, Jason, and I know we're going to get you out here, you will be blown away. I just went through, and I couldn't even get like a quarter of it done. It's just overwhelming, the talent that's here. And of course, all the other things that you can do at the art fair, right? I mean, it's a fun place to be.
Lots of food, lots of other stuff going on. And of course, a lot of the businesses there have special stuff going on down at the art fair this weekend. So the best move for people is to maybe park over by City Hall and shuttle in. Is that the best,
you think? You know, well, between us, I mean, that north ramp, which is the newer part of 50th and France on Market Street, which used to be called 49 and a half, a little far up from Walgreens. That's an underutilized ramp. No one ever parks there. I saw there are empty spots in there. But otherwise, yes, on Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 7, you can be right at the City Hall parking lot. It's a huge parking lot. And take our free shuttle in right directly into 50th and France. That's a really smart move.
So much construction has been an issue at 50th and France. I wonder if you could update our listeners on that, because I think this weekend might be a good chance for people to realize, like, oh, like
it's over.
It's over, right?
We survived. You know, I was not shy about saying I was very, it was tough. It was a rough summer. It was a rough fall. The construction for the E-line just went on and on and on, and it took all winter and the beginning of this summer to get these businesses bouncing back. Honestly, Jason, there were moments in the middle of the construction last year, which actually started the day after the art fair and then didn't wrap until just before Thanksgiving for two bus stops. It was crazy. But, you know, honestly, it was like just seeing there was a moment even, you know, these art fairs are not inexpensive to put together. And there was even a moment where I went, this is the 58th year of the Edina Art Fair. We have to figure out a way to do this. But our businesses, our district was pretty crushed. And, you know, we had to really rally and we did it. And it's such a triumph to bring back the art fair this year, to be done with the construction in our district, to look, we're sort of like spiffed up. We have 50th and France banners. We have, again, just kind of revitalized this district with beautiful new businesses, new restaurants. Things are alive again. We survived, and we're just we're really grateful. And we know going forward, if construction like this were to ever come into this district, we would fight to make sure that there were some sort of relief funds for businesses impacted, because everybody was impacted, not just at 50th and France, but all throughout that line. It was a tough time for small business districts. It's already tough with Amazon and online shopping and all that going on. And then, you know, to slow everybody down and make it difficult with construction, you know, it was tough. But we're in a different place. And I think when you get to the art fair, you're going to go, oh, okay, they're not under construction anymore.
Yeah,
and there's a little bridge project going on by City Hall, but you can get around that easily. And, you know, everything else is free and easy.
Pretty good. Well, have a great weekend out there. Edina Art Fair. I love it. I'm hoping to come tomorrow. My parents are in town. I got a kid graduating high school on Sunday, so it's a busy weekend for the DeRusha.
Don't miss the Mr. Paul's Beverage Garden. I know they've got a drink waiting for you over there.
You know I rarely miss a drink when it's available at Mr. Paul's. So we could just stop at I rarely miss a drink, I suppose. That's it. Mr. Paul's, by the way, like they've got that new pizza joint, but the back bar, Alyssa and I were just at the back
the
bar.
Carnival bar.
Fun. It was wonderful. Yeah,
isn't it fun?
And if you miss like the bar vibe where like you can just, everybody is sitting at the bar and you could talk to your neighbors and everybody's having fun. It was really that kind of vibe. It was very, very good.
I'm so glad you were there.
Good stuff.
Yes, hopefully see you and good luck with the graduation. And
woof.
Excited to see your listeners here at the art fair. It's popping.
Awesome. Rebecca, thank you. Appreciate it. Rebecca Sorensen for the 50th in France Business Association Art Fair. Oh, I'm told Paella Depot is out there. The Paella Depot is excellent. That food truck with a giant paella pan. They're at the state fair this year. Good stuff.
Food truck season, baby.
Yes, it's good stuff. Good stuff. 5:20, let's break. We'll do the D-Rush Hour page 2. D-Rush Hour news headlines page 2. And we just learned that the University of Minnesota is putting its golf course up for sale. Yeah. Tough stuff there. Star Tribune reporting this news that this land that was named after legendary University of Minnesota golf course, Les Bolstad, is going to close, well, after the 2025 season. Yeah, the news coming out. This golf course is in Falcon Heights. It's on Larpinder. It's 140 acres of land. That's a lot of land right in the middle of the metro area. The school officials saying the course is not bringing in enough money. They got to make repairs. They got to continue upkeep. And they just can't. The school notified the Board of Regents, sent a letter to golfers. Les Bolstad won 2 Big Ten golf championships. I know Vanita likes to go hit balls up there at their driving range. But the course needs $10 million to do deferred maintenance and keep this thing viable. So the U will obtain 2 appraisals to set a fair market value. They tried to get donors to raise money to fix it up and never could. Both the university golf teams compete off campus. So now the short game outdoor training area and the John W. Moody golf facility, not included in the sale, but pretty big stuff there. The maker of Oreo says that Aldi is ripping them off.
Do you know exactly how to eat an Oreo? Well, to do it, you unscrew it very fast. Because a kid will eat the middle of an Oreo first and say the chocolate.
Oh, that's very nice.
Mm.
It's an Oreo jingle from the 70s, Josh. Nice work there. TwinCities.com, the Pioneer Press reporting that Mondelez International is suing Aldi, alleging the packaging for Aldi's store brand cookies and crackers, quote, blatantly copies Chips Ahoy, Nutter Butter, Wheat Thins, Oreo. If you're watching us on YouTube, the WCCO radio stream, you can see it. And I'm no trademark lawyer, but I think Chips Ahoy, that doesn't look that blatant to me, the store brand. Does it to you, Josh?
No.
Like,
There's some things that I'll do that are like, oh, wait, I thought that
it's
was
it's the same color palette.
Yeah.
Like the Nutter Butter, sort of the font is almost the same as the peanut butter cream.
Yeah.
Oreo, it's the exact same coloring and the packaging. I think for sure Nutter Butter and Oreo has a case. Chips Ahoy, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Aldi did not respond to messages seeking comments. Like, if you look at the Thin Mints, oh, yeah. So, the Thin Mints box is like this yellowish box, kind of a goldish yellowish box. Aldi has Thin Wheat crackers in a very similar design.
Yeah. It's close.
It's, I mean, they both have an original brand that's in like, a, I don't know, it's very, very. Now, Aldi, part of how they, like, people love Aldi.
Mm-hmm.
Aldi mostly sells like its own store brands, and that's why the prices are low. Mm. It's really been growing here in the Twin Cities. What is it like to be a Delta flight attendant?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Cuddy say can't hang.
Oh, stewardess. I speak jive.
Oh, good.
This was a fascinating story in the Washington Post today because I got to tell you, like, the work that it takes to become a flight attendant is amazing. Natalie Compton, who's a reporter for the Washington Post, went to flight attendant school, flight attendant training center in Atlanta. And at the training center, what's interesting is, like, we think of flight attendants providing service,
mm-hmm.
and the training is all safety. It's physical, it's technical, it's designed to save lives. This is near the airport in Atlanta, and it's tough to get accepted. But once you get accepted to the training program, it's a 7-week process, and they teach you, like, what do you do when the cabin loses pressure? What are your self-defense tactics if somebody comes at you? What do you know the mechanics of the Boeing airplane doors? It's just very interesting. When a Delta, this also surprised me. So you wonder, you're like, what do they train on? Well, when a Delta plane is taken out of service, they chop it up. So they make 30 to 40 foot trainers. Makes sense. You have a very realistic classroom, so they can drop the mass, have the sound effects, shake it, rise it, make it rise and fall to simulate turbulence. It's pretty cool stuff.
Mile High Club.
Yeah, they train that as well. I don't know. None of my business.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Cool stuff. If you're a Washington Post subscriber, check that one out. That is the D-Rush Hour News headlines. We need to talk about your Minnesota Twins. Major injury news this week. Minnesota sports. Am I right? That is how it goes. We'll visit with Dan Hayes in just a minute here on Drive Time. Sound means it's Dan Hayes time here on CCO. Dan, how's it going? Happy Friday.
Thank you. Thank you. It's going well. I'm coming to you live from the Tahoe National Forest, where I'm probably disrupting nature. But other than that, I'm doing good.
Tahoe National Forest, that is Lake Tahoe area, California, right?
Yeah, which is, it's about 90 miles from Sacramento. I decided that if John Fisher was going to screw up things for the Oakland A's and move them to Sacramento, I was going to at least benefit from it somehow.
Right.
So I'm spending the weekend up here.
Oh, nice. How, yes. Like, I'm looking at pictures of the Tahoe National Forest right now. Is it as beautiful as some of these pictures look?
Yeah, it is. It is. The water is like 3 shades of blue. We're currently at this thing called Taylor Creek, which is like got a waterfall near it. Yeah, it's incredible. I'm not hating life right now.
No, this sounds amazing. I'm going to be an empty nester soon. My youngest graduates from high school on Sunday. So like, wow. And he's going to college at USC. So, like, I want to make the West Coast, like, a little bit more part of my empty nester lifestyle, you know?
I mean, San Diego is like 2 hours down the road. You can't go wrong there. And Tahoe is Sacramento is like a 1 hour plane flight from LA. And then you get in the car for, 90 minutes, 2 hours. It's all right here. It's good to get back out here. This is like the eighth day of a 10-day trip for me. I went home last weekend, saw my family. So,
does the nature make the Pablo Lopez injury feel a little better for you?
I don't know that there's much that will make that feel better. Like, you talk about the nicest, genuine guy, and probably one of the best interviews. And so we have now 2 to 3 months where we won't be interviewing him on a regular basis and getting to hear, we still can because he'll be there. But I mean, it's a big blow for the Twins. It's something that they probably can handle to an extent. I think that they have David Festa did not look great yesterday and he was pretty terrible, but he is a good pitcher. He's a young guy. He's still learning. And Zebby Matthews, another young guy, still learning, but we've seen both of them have some success in the majors. They're going to be playing a big part of this. And it's somewhat similar to last year. But at the same time, the Twins have 3 veterans who are experienced and pitching well for them right now between Joe Ryan and Bailey Ober and Chris Paddock. And I think they're in a better place to weather the storm, but they got to make sure to not wear down the bullpen. And that could be tricky because Zebby Matthews and David Festa are guys that typically they trusted for 4 to 5 innings. They're going to need to get some of that, pitch into that 6th inning to not burn the bullpen. But that's sort of going to be a big test for them over these next, whatever the time is. And, Pablo's hopeful it's closer to the 2 month mark. We'll see, It's a big injury and it's trying for sure.
These muscle strains are difficult, right? Because it's not, you just don't quite know how the recovery is going to take, and there's nothing you can do to sort of hurry it up, right?
Right, and I will say this. In the area that his injury occurred, this is called the Terry's major strain.
Okay.
That muscle covers the lat, basically. The Terry's minor is the rotator cuff. That's far, far worse. So if, and that's one muscle over. It's very similar neighborhood. If there was one to get, this is the one, because the other one is, you don't want to deal with the rotator cuff. And so Pablo, I think he recognized to not push through this. He pushed through it a little bit because he felt it in the 5th inning on Tuesday. And he faced Brent Rooker, walked him, and then got the next guy. And he felt it for that amount of time. And then he went out and said he threw 3 low to mid-intensity pitches and recognized, this is low to mid-intensity. What happens if I have to, kind of throw it hard? And called the trainers out. So there's some good awareness. That's good.
So you made some national headlines with your story talking about the mound in Sacramento.
Yeah.
So this story you did was really interesting. We knew the Tampa trip was tough, the Sacramento trip, the playing conditions. Like, the players don't generally complain that much because it is sort of what it is. But there has been a lot of complaints about the firmness of the mound and the firmness of the batter's box.
Yeah. I mean, Sacramento it's the Central Valley. It's a dry area. The temperatures this week were actually very pleasant. It was like 85 degrees at first pitch a couple times and then would cool off with the breeze coming in. But it's going to get to above 100, very soon there. And already had multiple Twins players saying that the ground, especially at home plate, was hard as a rock, concrete, things like that. Carlos Correa said he got back pain from it. And, it's funny because you go online and you see people saying they're making excuses. The Twins won 3 of 4 games in Sacramento. They're not making excuses. They're standing up for what's going on. And the A's players really can't say – the A's are such a young team.
Right.
And they have to live with this for 3 years. But when you're talking about cement, and Correa is in a different boat than most guys. Correa, because of plantar fasciitis in both of his feet, cannot wear metal spikes. He can only wear moldings. So he slips a little bit and he said he was really slipping and overcompensating for it with his back. And that's why he's out of the lineup again today. He's missed the last two games. He could tell it's a different area of back pain than he's ever experienced before. He could tell because he went inside to the batting cages on flat ground and was able to swing on the spongy carpet and felt fine. But when he was swinging for 2 days out in the field, he said his back was compensating and he got sore back. And he said, look, why would I play two more days and risk this and maybe lose 2 months? This is not major league quality. And the same was said about the mound. And the Twins are not the first team to talk about the mound. The Phillies were, Zach Wheeler, who's making $42 million this year, said he felt like he was throwing all arm because the clay on the mound is so hard that they can't dig in and work the mound and manipulate it the way that pitchers do, create landing spots, not have to stand on the rubber specifically. One of the issues with Sacramento is the Athletics are sharing the ballpark with the AAA San Francisco Giants team, the Sacramento River Cats. So that ballpark is being used. It's going to play 156 games this year. That is not major league quality. You're not giving the area a chance to kind of relax. You're just every day it's needing to be manicured. I mean, the work they do on it every night is atypical for a major league ballpark. So, I mean, there's real points being made here. And you wonder if the MLBPA will step in. I mean, Joe Ryan went out of his way to suggest that Pablo Lopez's injury potentially was from that mound. And he said, Zach Wheeler said, I was throwing all arm, and that made me think, did Pablo have the same thing happen? And it hurt him because Pablo, he was like, he basically said, just to go outside to play catch, Pablo has like an hours-long routine on an everyday basis. He's the most fit player he's ever been around,
yeah.
And he thought it was strange that he got injured. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the course of the season because this was a choice by the A's to move there. They could have stayed in Oakland until they left for Las Vegas. Obviously, it got very ugly in Oakland the last couple of years. Fans were very upset that they're leaving for Vegas, and the A's just decided to play in Sacramento, and now we got a new mess.
Dan Hayes with The Athletic with us here on CCO. I think we were a little worried about Yoan Duran, and he's looked good. You wrote about him getting the Reliever of the Month award this week, but I was more interested in sort of you writing about the new approach that he's been bringing, the four-seam fastball.
Yeah, look, anytime you lose the velocity that he has over the couple of years, it's worrisome, right?
Yeah.
But also, not many humans average 102.5 miles an hour with their fastball.
Right. Right.
He's still averaging 100, which is pretty good. It's understandable why people would be worried about that. But one thing he's learned is, his fastball is a little straight. He has tried to manipulate it and change it, and he changed the grip on it. And it's given him some extra run on his pitches, like an extra inch carry on it. Basically, he's trying to learn how to be more of a pitcher and not just throw a straight fastball, because last year he couldn't command his fastball. He wasn't throwing it for strikes. And that left hitters kind of waiting on his curveball and on his splinker. And when you got a guy like that and you can just eliminate one of those pitches and then look for one of the other two, it increases the chances of you having success exponentially. And so him adding this third pitch back into elite levels, and it really is good. I mean, the numbers are outstanding.
He looks good, too. Like, when we were out at spring training, you could tell he looks a little trimmer. He looks a little stronger.
Yeah, he stayed in the Dominican all offseason. That was a point that Luis Ramirez, the Twins pitching coach, made to him and said, look, you traveled around a lot last year. You'd lose a day here or there. And so he stayed in the Dominican the entire winter, lost 12 pounds, came into the season feeling great. And, I mean, what do you know? Look at the result.
Yeah, really good. Dan, get back to nature. Thank you. I know you're going to miss doing the temperature of the Twins, but I figure
I really am.
I know.
I appreciate you doing that without me.
Dan Hayes, appreciate it. Have the best weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, man. All right. Take care.
5:49. We will take the temperature of the Twins in just a minute. And get you right up to Henry Lake. Twins, is it Henry or is it straight to pregame? It's straight.
Oh, no, it's Henry. They're at Inbound Brewing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then Twins pregame at 6:30 as Toronto Whether the Canadians came to town or not, we'll find out here on C.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
All right, the temp of the Twins right now is cold. Even though they took, what did they take, 3 out of 4 on the last road trip?
Something like that.
You know, when you drop a clunker on the way out of town, now granted, poor David Fester got called up from the Twin Cities, took a flight, had a little bit of sleep, and then boom, it's go time. That is not the mojo that you want going into a series with a very tough team, and that's Toronto. Losing 14-3. This week, you lose your ace pitcher, Pablo Lopez, to injury. You got to say the temp of the team is cold, right? Is that fair, Josh?
Yeah, that's not good.
It's not good. Now, come out strong tonight. All right. You know what? Make a statement tonight. Mm. Now you're in business.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see if the Canadians come. There's been a lot of talk that typical Toronto crowd at Target Field is 40% Blue Jays fans. I bet that's not going to happen.
Yeah, tariffs.
51st state. That's why they're mad at us. Yeah. Get over it. Don't be such babies, Canada.
Be grateful you're a state.
Oh, boo-hoo. Donald Trump's mean. I'm not coming to the U.S. Come on. If I just folded up because of everyone that's mean to me, this show would be 3 minutes long. Give me a break. Henry Lake, live on location. I'll see you Monday.